What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Welcome to Top 5, a show where we count things down from number 5 all the way to number 1, and by popular request, John is back this week. Hi, John.
Hi, how you doing?
What's new with you this week? Anything?
Not much. Been working on some projects of mine for school.
Yeah, you got to get those in. I got to get your grade in.
Yeah.
Right now you're sitting at a U. I want to at least make it a U+.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll do my best.
Speaking of best, that's not what we're doing this week. Once again, we are diving into the worst of, or the least favorite of. And before you think, no, I don't want you to think that John only comes in to talk about the bad things, although his movie selection is questionable at
best.
That's
not true.
It is true. But this week, because we've done it so many times, we've done it 2 times already in the past. We've already done the best or our favorite Batman the Animated Series episodes. And so John was like, hey, can we do Batman the Animated Series stuff? And I was like, yeah, we just did our best of in 2022, I believe, when Kevin Conroy passed away. So I said, let's do another worst of on this list. So this time it's our, not really worst of, I always say that, but I really mean least favorite. Because regardless of what you think of, and we may be reading off some of your favorite ones.
Yeah.
I think there's some real, some of these are just, in my opinion, they're not horrible. They're just blah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few episodes of Batman the Animated Series that are just kind of like, But then, then after that, you watch, a really good episode, Gray Ghost or Heart of Ice or Almost Gotham, which is one of my
favorites. Yeah, the two-parter with Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The Demon's Head. Yeah. Yeah. So what do you got for your number 5?
Well, number 5. Okay, this one's just kind of okay. I actually had kind of a hard time making this list.
I know it is kind of hard because, again, there's nothing that you sit there and it's just like, I want to throw up after watching this episode.
I mean, the top two are actually not good episodes.
Okay.
But the bottom three were just kind of like, oh my God, that one kind of has its moments. I almost considered putting the Joker's Wild episode on there.
Okay.
But I put Bane on there from when it was the New Adventures of Batman and Robin or the Adventures of Batman and Robin in 1994.
And that's also when they changed the animation style too. More streamlined.
No, that was a New Batman Adventures.
Oh, okay.
Or season 4, more than some. But Bane features the villain Bane as his first appearance in the, and he was a brand new character. He was very popular in the Nightfall story. He had a very big thing, and they just didn't really do a lot with Bane
In the Batman and Robin movie, he was a big deal.
Yeah, but he was just kind of like this big henchman.
Kind of the way they, I don't think they know what to do with Bane outside of that, right? Because that's what he is kind of here in this episode as well. He's just kind of this heavy guy. He's not how he was portrayed in the comic books.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got the venom to pump him up, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Right?
He didn't really have the... didn't it feature anything from the Nightfall story. They didn't. Mm-hmm. They could have adapted that.
They could have. It's a little bit more intense. I think.
Yeah.
So the whole history of Venom goes back even into a Legends of a Dark Knight story where Bruce Wayne gets addicted to Venom early on. But yeah, I think the whole drug abuse storyline, which is really what Bane's is, the steroid abuse, that would, I think, a little hard to try to get into an animated show without it becoming too preachy. With that being said, there are definitely some episodes of Batman the Animated Series, especially season one.
Yeah.
That get really, really preachy.
Yeah, well, I have one of those on the top spot, just say.
All right.
Well, I think there could have been a way to adapt the Nightfall story into kind of like a very condensed way. I think I've never seen it, but I think the Batman show from the 2000s did a two-parter with that kind of adapted the Nightfall story where Bane broke Batman's back.
Mm-hmm.
So it could have been possible, but it's just kind of like a waste of potential. And I read Bruce Timm did not like Bane. Like, he thought he was kind of a gimmick character.
Yeah.
But he was kind of forced to include him because DC, they wanted him to be in the show because it's a brand new villain. He had a big story in the comics. So, you know, and as a result of that, Bane only made like a few. You know, he was in the new Batman Adventures in on the Over the Edge episode. And then he was in an episode of Superman the Animated Series where Superman takes Batman's place. And then he makes a very brief cameo in Batman Beyond where he dies. And then he's also in the Mystery of the Batwoman movie.
Yeah, I thought you were just talking about the main Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, no, no. I go all the way.
Yeah, no. I'm talking for me. So here's what I did. I looked at the 109 episodes. So that's the four seasons of Batman the Animated Series. That's the when they changed it to the New Adventures of Batman and changed the intro for like two episodes before they realized, oh, people hate this intro. And then the one where they changed the animation style, season four.
Yeah,
And that's where my number five comes in, Cult of the Cat.
Yeah, that's not a fun episode.
No, and the problem is, and I think I want, you know, of the 109 episodes, I looked at the like the top 15, top 20 considered worst episodes and then watched all of those episodes and then narrowed down my list. And the thing is, I think they just didn't know what to do with Selina Kyle.
Yeah, they really did not know.
Because is she a love interest? Is she a villain? Is she a, you know, an anti-hero? What is she?
Yeah, they didn't, like when they introduced her in the show and the two-parter, I think it's called the Cat in the Claw.
Yeah.
She's like an animal rights activist instead of a cat burglar.
Right.
It's like they really, it's like they wanted to make her sympathetic, but they like didn't want to make her like a crook, like a straight up crook. They wanted to give her
because they wanted to give her that love interest thing. And that's, you know, that direct spinoff of the Tim Burton movie. Yeah. And they're like, well, how do we do this? And so they, it seems like three out of the five worst episodes or least favorite episodes that I have are all Catwoman centric stories. And I think it's just because
they didn't know what to do with
it. I don't care for how they portray Catwoman in the piece because I don't think they knew how to deal with Catwoman in the piece because they were almost like the. So you and I have talked about I like Batman 89 just fine. It's a fine movie. I'm not a huge fan of Tim Burton's aesthetic.
Yeah.
Right. And so when we look at how do they translate that into the animated series, which, of course, is the big influence here. You know, the architecture of Gotham City is spot on that Art Deco style. The Art Deco big, long Batmobile, you can say, is inspired from
Penguin's design.
Penguin's design, obviously, is directly from the Batman Returns. And then they are like, well, I guess instead of taking Selina Kyle from the comic books and making an adaptation of her, we're just going to take Michelle Pfeiffer and put her in here. And so I think that really constrained them. So Cult of the Cat is, I think, the last appearance of Catwoman in the main 109 episodes. And it's a story where she steals a trinket, a statue from this Cult of the Cat, these people that worship cats, and they chase her all over the place. And they're going to sacrifice her to cleanse the idol that she has stolen. Batman gets involved to try and rescue her. He becomes the substitute for the sacrifice, and she ends up kind of saving Batman, and they escape, and blah 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 blah. It's really weird because she can't just get away. She has to constantly be stealing and stealing and stealing throughout the entire piece, and it just kind of, I think at that point, kind of solidifies her as, oh yeah, no, she's not a good person. She's using everyone. She's using the main bad guy in this episode who looks like he's drawn like Lex Luthor, but with hair.
Yeah. Actually, his name, you know what who he is?
Tyrone is his last name, right?
No, his name was Thomas Blake.
Oh, Thomas Blake.
Catman.
I guess I didn't make that connection because I was just like, why does this guy look like Lex Luthor? And then
I don't know if he looks like Lex Luthor in the comics.
Oh, no, he doesn't. No, but the way that he's drawn in the animated series, he does.
Yeah.
But I was just like, really just not keen on that episode. So that's why Cult of the Cat is my number five.
Yeah, not one of my favorites from that season.
Well. Yeah. That whole last season, I didn't like how they changed the style. Actually, I think the only character that looks good in that last season, I think, is Batgirl and Commissioner Gordon, because they thinned him down quite a bit from, you know, the first three seasons. So I think those are the only two characters that actually work in that new style.
I actually like that new style that they have.
You would, you young punk.
Well, it's more streamlined. And they did it to keep the animation more consistent because they had trouble the first three seasons because the overseas studios had a huge trouble animating the, you know, big stylized characters, especially the Acom studio who did The Simpsons a lot.
Yeah. All right. So what do you got for your number four?
Well, this one was Bruce Timm's candidate for being the worst episode of the entire DC animated universe, and this episode is The Terrible Trio.
Really? I am really surprised that... Okay, so that's...
Look, Bruce, sorry.
I was going to say, I'm surprised that that's Bruce Timm's least favorite, because Paul Dini, when he did the... when he did his series of I think it was Detective Comics, when he did that run, he literally adapted The Terrible Trio into the comic books, or at least had them in one of the one-shots that he did.
Okay. Could you explain who the Terrible Trio are? Because I only know them from this one episode. I'm not fully familiar with
them. Well, no. Name. So, I mean, that's really kind of where we know them from. They are essentially these aristocratic rich people that decide that, you know, life is too boring because they have everything. So they're just going to go out and become thieves and use their, you know, their skills to rob from the rich and give to themselves. And they are a very authoritarian group. When we look at what an authoritarian is, and you look at where they see themselves, rich above poor, society above non-society. So they just fall into that authoritarian group. And it's just a bunch of douchebag college bros that throw on some masks and go do stuff.
Yeah, it's not that engaging of a story.
I mean, it's a little weird because there is a girl involved in that story.
Yeah, there is.
And there are times where it's like, are these three guys going to like sexually assault her?
Yeah.
There's that vibe that throughout that episode. And Bruce Timm and Paul Dini both say that there are many episodes that are just like horny as heck. That, that Roxy Rocket episode, if you watch that one,
the
Ultimate Thrill. Where it's just like
she's lots of innuendos in that.
Lots of innuendos in that. So yeah, it's simmering in the background for Terrible Trio. But I don't know. Maybe because I liked how Dini adapted it for the comic books, this didn't make my top five. Although it wasn't. I did watch it just recently.
I don't think it's like. I don't think it's terrible, terrible, like terrible, terrible trio. But I think it's just kind of. It's not that interesting to me. It's not that engaging. It's not really one I really, like or care about that much. Mm-hmm. It's pretty forgettable.
Okay.
And, they usually had the Batman animated series. You have to give them a lot of credit for this, is that they made a lot of their villains sympathetic.
Like, oh, yeah.
Mr.
Yeah.
Freeze, who was just a joke villain in the comics.
Yeah.
They made him into like one of the all time best Batman villains because of that Heart of Ice episode.
Yeah.
But, maybe they could have done that with the Terrible Trio. I don't know.
I don't know if you can make them sympathetic because I think the point is, look how horrible the 1% are. And you're not supposed to. And so that may be just a today, I think, when you look at Eat the Rich kind of idea, that you could look at the Terrible Trio and go, no, this is exactly why people hate rich people. Yeah. Is because of the Terrible Trio. And yes, Elon Musk is not breaking into my house to steal my precious baubles
that we know of.
That we know of. Right. I mean, he could be really that good. It's the combo of Musk, Bezos and Mr. Beast, I guess would be, the 1%. I'm Mr. Beast. I'm just throwing him in there, but you get this idea of here are these people that think they can just get away with anything. They're super rich and they don't care about anyone else. And then you have, in contrast to that, Bruce Wayne, who is just like, no, I mean, why shouldn't we be nice to our fellow man and give? And so I think that there's probably a social commentary in there that many people don't see because they're too interested in when's Batman going to punch these guys in the face kind of thing. And really, they outdo Batman for most of the episode.
Yeah.
Until the very end when they're pushing the girl in the car off the cliff and he shows up and then takes him down. So that may be another reason why people don't like that.
Yeah. There's also a weird animation thing in this episode. Yeah. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but there's like a scene where Batman, he visits one of his friends who was like injured by the terrible tree in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. It's the girl's father.
Yeah. And he's like painted into the background.
Yes. I know, it's really weird. It is. It's painted. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
I don't know if they ran out of budget or if they.
No, I think that was just we don't need this guy animated because he's just laying there. So just paint a guy laying there. We don't need to make animation cells off of this.
Yeah, but it's a very weird choice.
It is. I know. As soon as it popped up, I was like, well, this is weird. What's going on?
I mean, they've done like painted the characters painted in the background before, but it's like usually for like artistic expression atmosphere. But
I forget one of the episodes. It's not in the top 20 worst. It's Demon's Head Part One. It opens with literally rotoscoping Robin walking up to his apartment. And then they also are using roto rain instead of drawn rain. So it's very Bashky-esque in how that first opening scene comes out. So
yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So next one for you.
Next one for me, Wolf and Moon. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that one.
This one made the list because I can get behind Etrigan, right? I can get behind mystical demons showing up.
I
can get behind Zatanna and magic with that kind of stuff. But there's something about werewolves that with Batman just feels weird. And I don't know why. But it does.
I believe that one was an adaptation of a 1970s comic.
It was. In fact, if you look in many of the writing credits for this, you have people like Steve Gerber writing some of these episodes and other, Demon's Head is Denny O'Neill writing that episode. So you have comic book creators coming in and doing these. But for whatever reason, Wolf and Moon was so blah that I fell asleep in the middle of it. Not once, John, but twice. I was just like, fall asleep. And then I wake up and I'm like, well, I guess it's not very good because I had no interest in it. And then I'd watch more episodes and not have a problem.
It's a weird one. Do you explain the plot of that one?
I can't because I fell asleep twice
okay.
in the middle of it. So there's a werewolf on the loose. Yeah. Batman thinks it's Langstrom, or somebody messing around with Langstrom's formula.
Yeah.
And then he goes down.
It's Dr. Moon, though.
Dr. Moon.
I think that's his name.
Yeah. And they give the guy a chance to go back to being human, and he doesn't. He just decides to run off at the end. And so, I can't tell you any more about that episode.
Yeah. I remember the werewolf, he's like an athlete type.
Yeah.
Who like took the formula to
enhance.
Yeah. And it's a weird side effect.
Yeah. So
I guess there's a little bit of commentary on steroid abuse in there somewhere.
Yeah, but also, so Wolf and Moon and the next one on my list, I think are integral into some things that happen in Batman Beyond. But we'll get to that in a moment.
All right.
You've done your numbers.
What did you think of the soundtrack in the werewolf episode? Because they have like an electric guitar playing in the background.
Again, I was asleep the entire time, John. I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Okay. Twice. It's so bad on two separate occasions where I sat down to watch this. I fell asleep on it twice. That's how boring it is.
Okay.
What are we up to? Our number three?
Number three, yes. Right. So I have a Catwoman episode.
Okay.
It's not the one you mentioned earlier.
Okay.
Maybe you know what I'm talking about, but it's kind of – I'm surprised if this episode isn't – like made fun of or something, because it is a very weird episode.
I think you and I have the same one.
It's Tiger.
Tiger, my number three as well.
It's such a weird episode.
So here's the thing about this. There's somebody, this is very Island of Dr. Moreau.
It's Island of Dr. Moreau meets the Most Dangerous Game.
Yeah. And the idea is that they've kidnapped Catwoman and they are going to make her into a living cat, an anthropomorphic cat. And this is on my list because somebody really was into furries. That's the only thing I can think about, because here's this big muscular man cat that's walking around. And then you've got this little demure Selena Kyle that has been turned into a sexy cat. And, they're running around, hugging each other and stuff. And it's just like, This is weird on so many different levels.
It probably creates some furries in the process.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm almost certain that if you go to a furry convention or anywhere where people dress up in their furry costumes, you're going to see somebody that is the main
tiger
creature.
Tiger.
Yeah, thing. The main tiger. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very odd episode. And you told me the other day that Batman the Animated, a lot of the episodes were paying homage to the pulps. And mm-hmm. I mean, this is kind of in that style, like 1930s, like pulps.
Yeah.
But something about it, it's like the werewolf thing. It just mm-hmm. does not fit Batman.
Yeah. I want to tell you really quick about Batman and pulps and why I think people today don't understand certain television shows. But the only place you're going to be able to hear that is over on our Patreon, patreon.com/majorspoilers. We're going to cut away right now, and John and I are going to talk about this theory that I have. And when we come back, we'll finish up with our top five.
Shameless plug time.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back from our long discussion. You need to go over to patreon.com/majorspoilers. Silver level membership, $5 a month, will get you access to this conversation where you can hear my latest thesis on why people didn't like Prophecy of Doom or the latest season of True Detective. patreon.com/majorspoilers. Now, we were talking commentary tracks just a minute ago and Tiger and Don't Look Underneath. And what were you going to get ready to say?
I was going to say that, I mean, something that I noticed watching this episode, I'm sure this was probably the intent, but the mad scientist in this episode, he looks like the scientist from The Bride of Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm sure that was definitely an influence.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think so as well. It wouldn't surprise me, a lot of the influences in here. Yeah. Well, John, since you had Tiger Tiger as your number three, and I don't want to double dip on this, and maybe you do have, maybe we will have some double dips when we get here. I'm going to replace my number three, Tiger, with the Underdwellers.
I have some thoughts on that one, but I'll save that for later.
Okay. First of all, Batman just ruined a company business where these kids are growing, you know, organic mushrooms in the sewers of Gotham City. No. Okay. Here's the deal. If you've never read Oliver Twist, this is Oliver Twist. We have the king of the sewer, or whatever his name is.
The sewer king.
The sewer king, who is basically Fagin, who has all of his little children who are not allowed to speak or do anything. He starves them. He keeps them in the dark. And then he sends them out to steal from people and bring him the riches. And then Batman discovers this and goes and beats up the guy. In the meantime, one of the kids escapes. Batman befriends him, takes him home, and then there's an hysterical... Yeah, perfect, John. There's this bit where Alfred has to take care of this kid and it doesn't go well. And it's really bad. It's like a slapstick sequence, yeah. Really is what
and there's
it is.
Kind of a continuity error because Alfred's like, I don't know anything about raising children.
I know, I was thinking the same thing. Didn't you raise Bruce?
Well, maybe the writer was confused because originally Alfred in the comics didn't raise Bruce, yeah. But then that was retconned later on. So yeah. maybe there was some confusion.
Maybe.
I don't know.
So Underdwellers, if you've never read Oliver Twist, just like with Tiger is, the Most Dangerous Game and Island of Dr. Moreau. Sometimes I feel like they're using inspiration from other places, from books to make these stories happen. What were your thoughts on Underdwellers?
Well, I'll save it for later.
Oh, because it's on your list?
Yeah, it's on my list.
Oh, okay. So we're going to come back to Underdwellers in a minute. Sorry, John. Sorry to ruin it for you.
This one might be on your list. I don't know. But the second one, number two, I remember the first time I ever saw this episode. It's I Got Batman that in My Basement.
That is my number two as well. I've got Batman in My Basement.
Yeah.
Did you ever read Encyclopedia Brown when you grew up?
No.
You don't?
I'm assuming it's an homage to that.
It feels like it. So Encyclopedia Brown was this really smart kid. Middle school to early high school kind of kid, like 12, 13, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And he was super smart. He could solve all the problems. He's kind of like I know we have Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys, but he's kind of your proto kid detective type character. And Encyclopedia Brown, when the police, his dad, who's the sheriff or the head of the police, can't solve a crime, he asks his son to solve the crime for him. And there's a bully that picks on him, and he's got a girl sidekick that helps him out, and another friend, who helps him out. And, you know, they solve crimes together.
Yeah.
And so I've got Batman in My Basement feels very much like, hey, kids, remember Encyclopedia Brown? Here he is helping Batman.
Yeah, it doesn't work. But the episode is basically Batman's like fighting the Penguin. This is also the first episode that features the Penguin.
Is it the first one? Oh, yeah, because he does have that dramatic rise from the cage appearance. Yeah, I didn't realize that was his first appearance. Yeah.
Most episodes with the Penguin, I don't think are that good.
Well,
with the exception of
Roxy Rocket, The Ultimate Thrill.
I'm talking about the like, ones where he's like the main villain.
Oh, yeah.
With the exception of Birds of a Feather, I think that one's a pretty solid one.
Yeah.
But most of the other ones are just not that good because they kind of made him into the kind of like the. He looks like the Danny DeVito Penguin, but he's more like the Golden and Silver Age Penguin.
Yeah. And that, and so they, again, that's what we were talking about with Selina Kyle, right? Where they're trying to bring in Batman Returns as that influence to drive the character development. So why wouldn't we bring in the Danny DeVito style for the Penguin to drive that as well?
Well, he's not as disturbing as
the that is part of it too. He's not got like black eyes and drooling.
He doesn't want to kill. Well, maybe he does want to kill children in this episode.
He might, but no, he does want to kill children in this episode, right? He's like,
yeah,
breaking into their house and trying to kill them. But you know, they redo that when they get into the new animation style and they're like, oh no, we need to make him this rich guy.
Yeah, mob boss, basically. I like that depiction a lot better for the Penguin.
Yeah. Actually. Yeah.
But anyway, so Batman gets injured by the Penguin's henchmen and the kids like take him and like, hide him out in the basement.
They poison Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Penguin like, you know, tracks him down and everything.
Cause he's got a big giant vulture.
Yeah.
And that's what tips Encyclopedia Brown off that something's not right.
I'm pretty sure the vultures might be an homage to the Max Fleischer Superman.
Maybe because they do the have that giant, that the giant bird or whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the henchmen in that.
Yeah.
One of the villains in that had a vulture sidekick. I remember the first time I saw this episode, it was on, TV. See, I first watched Batman the Animated Series in like 2010, 2011. It was on a channel called The Hub, which had a lot of weird shows. I didn't watch any other shows on The Hub, except for Batman the Animated Series. And I remember when this episode came on, at the same time, there was this basketball game going on in my hometown. And my mom asked me, hey, we want to go to that? And halfway through this one, I was like, yeah, I'll go to that.
Yeah. So I got to watch these when they originally came out. I was like, as soon as I found out about this series, I loved it. I've got one of the original promotional posters hanging up at my house and everything. And I, you know, I've told this story before, but because you haven't heard it, I was working at a radio station here in town and my program director had the poster hanging up in his office because for whatever reason, they sent it to the radio station to promote. And he had the poster in his office and I called him up immediately. Like he probably only had it up for an hour. And then left for the day. And I called him up immediately, said, can I have this poster? And he's like, yeah, go ahead and take it. And I went right up to his office, took it down, took it home. And it has traveled with me for 30 years now.
Awesome.
And now I've got it framed, but yeah, there's a bunch of pinholes down in the corners and everything. But, yeah, I love this series. And when it debuted, it was like regular primetime for a couple of weeks. And then it would switch to the afternoons and I would just set my VHS recorder to record every single episode of this. And I remember getting, cause this is like what, fourth or fifth episode,
something like that.
Yeah. I watched it and I was like, huh, well, okay. Yeah. And I just kind of left it at that. And I'm kind of
disappointed.
Yeah. No, I guess I'm also with you because I'm also not a huge Danny DeVito Penguin style fan. I like the one that is the, you know, the rich guy, the mob boss guy that is secretly doing all the underworld stuff. And it's hard to get a finger, put a heavy finger on him to haul him away because he's always figuring out some way to get away from Batman.
It's more interesting.
I think he is, but I guess you have to go with the creepy monster guy.
Because the movie just came out.
Yeah.
A couple months before the show.
Yeah. And I think that's, it's not a good episode in my opinion.
Yeah. I don't have anything else to really say about it, but it's just not an episode I really enjoy watching. I think I most went, like, for a couple years, every summer I did like a rewatch of the entire show.
Oh, really?
I think I always skipped this episode because I was just like, there's no point to watch this thing.
Because when I went back to watch this, I think it was a one that was a skip for me too. When I went back to watch it this week, I was just amazed at how lame it is because just like the Underdwellers where you've got
Batman might be.
Yeah. Just like with the Underdwellers, you've got this kind of like, here's the justification for the way the Underdwellers work. And I've got Batman in my basement. There's no Robin in this season. I think Robin comes in season two, right? Robin's Reckoning.
I think he made like a couple appearances.
Maybe he
like
made a couple
one or
appearances.
Two appearances.
But up until they put him in there, there's no kid sidekick.
Yeah.
And so if this is a kid's show, you have to have the kids being able to go, oh, it's Batman and I could be these adventures. And, oh, I wish Batman would rescue me from my horrible parents that keep me in the sewer. Or I wish that I had a Batman as my friend and we could solve crimes together kind of thing. That's the only reason why I can think that those two episodes exist.
Yeah. It's again, I have nothing more to really say about it.
All right. Well then let's get to your number one then.
Oh, I thought you were going to redo your number two.
Oh, I'm going to redo my number two. Let's see if I even have, cause I already did mine. I don't know if I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. I have done, we've talked Tiger. I replaced that with Underdwellers, mm-hmm. Wolf and Moon, Cult of Cat. I've got Batman in my basement. Since we're both at the same on that one, I don't have to replace. I'm not going to replace because okay. I've only got one more on my list that I really, in hindsight, do not care for.
Okay. Well, number one is The Underdwellers.
What?
This is another
I've never heard of this episode before, John.
This is another one I did not like as a kid. I think I also started watching this one halfway through when it first I first saw it because I did not like. And you said earlier that they threw in like I guess PSA type mm-hmm. things in here. And this episode opens with a PSA type yeah. thing where those two
yeah,
guys
the kids are riding the train.
Yeah, and then he's like, "If you stand here long enough, you're chicken." And then Batman pulls him off on the train. He's like, "You stay chicken long enough, you fry."
Yeah. No, and then even at the end of that episode.
But there's another thing in there.
Yeah, at the very end of the episode, when all the kids are being lifted out of the sewer, and the one little kid that hasn't spoken the entire time is like,
"Daylight, light, daylight."
And then we pan up across Gotham, and we see Batman looking down at the scene from the rooftop, and he kind of looks at the viewer a little bit and puts up that thumbs up and then wraps the cape around him.
I don't remember
a smile
that.
On his face. Well, I don't remember if he does the thumbs up there, but it feels like he did a thumbs up, but I know he like is standing there and then he wraps the cape around him with like this smile on his face.
I did not rewatch this episode because I already knew it. I already knew it was going to be my number one because I never liked this episode.
Yeah,
but there's another PSA thing in there where the kid's like running amok in Wayne Manor. Uh-huh. He takes like a gun.
Oh yeah.
That
right,
looks
right.
like some mm-hmm. kind of gun from like the first Thanksgiving or something like that. Batman takes it from him. He's like, "Children, guns do not mix ever."
Yeah.
"It wasn't loaded, but it could have been."
Yeah.
It's just like, how's my
Kevin? It is very heavy PSA.
Yeah. How's my Kevin Conroy impression?
Nah, need some work. I like your crappy little punk voice. That's a good voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it is very PSA filled. And I wonder if it isn't because this is like,
That's also
episode
one of
like
the
third or
earliest
three or four.
Episodes.
It's like three or four. I was really surprised it was such a crappy episode so soon in the show. And the only reason I can think that maybe it was, I know they moved a lot of stuff around. And so a lot of what we're seeing now is the
production order,
not the air order.
Yeah.
Right.
HBO has them by the air order actually.
Oh, do they? Cause, the collection that I have, it's just production order.
Yeah. Really. That's the one I have too.
Yeah. So the only thing I can think of is they were thinking that this was going to be so popular and kids were going to watch it. What better time to insert some good messaging for kids than in this episode?
Yeah.
But it's really bad.
Yeah. It's a very unwatchable episode. And the Sewer King is just a very like one note.
Yeah.
Villain.
Oh no, he's Fagin. Like, he's Fagin from Oliver Twist. So
I will steal all the treasure with my pretties. And he has those two alligators or something.
No,
like
he's got
that.
A whole bunch of alligators.
Yeah.
And like, Batman fights them all. So you bring up the alligator in the sewer trope.
TikTok.
With that. Yeah.
But it's, I don't really have too much to say other than it's not a good episode.
No, it's
really the worst
episode. Okay. But I think I can top it.
Okay.
And you tipped me off to this and I was like, we had a discussion because I was conflating it with a different episode or a different villain. It's Critters. It's like the middle of the last season. And here's how I describe this episode.
Okay.
American Gothic by way of Jack Kirby and Bubba Hotep. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, the painting American Gothic?
Yeah.
The farmer and the mm-hmm. woman. Mm-hmm. You know who that woman is?
No.
It's his daughter. A lot of people think it's his wife, Right. And so when you rethink then and you understand that the woman in that painting is his daughter, that painting takes on a whole different meaning and attitude. Yeah. Right. So here you have this weird old farmer and his Daisy May wife
or daughter.
It could be daughter wife. Who knows? We never see the mother. And she's buffed out on steroids. The whole thing with this farmer dude is like putting growth hormones into all of these animals and just turning them into these horrible Jack Kirby-esque frightening designs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If Jack Kirby were to design a feral hog that you had to shoot with your machine gun, or how else are you going to keep feral hogs off your property?
Actually, the commentary track, they mentioned the influence was Kirby on acid.
Yeah, no, it is very much Kirby on acid, whether it's the chickens / crows, mm-hmm. whether
that
it's
like
the
Rodan goat. Or something.
Yeah. It's like the creepiest. It is so weird. And here's the weirdest part about this. Okay. Steve Gerber is the story came up with the mm-hmm. story for this.
Yep.
The writer on this is Joe R. Lansdale. Joe R. Lansdale, of course, wrote Bubba Hotep. He writes a lot of like pulpy horror type books, but he also wrote one of my favorite series of the two friends who solve crimes together. Now I'm slipping my mind for a bit, but we just watching the opening and I was looking for who the director was of a lot of these episodes. Cause it comes to find out that there's a director who directed like three or four of these episodes. And so I'm just paying attention to the credits a little bit. I'm like, Joe R. Lansdale. And I had to rewind. I'm like, holy crap. Joe R. Lansdale wrote this. And he wrote like four episodes of the entire Batman series. And some of them are very, very good episodes, mm-hmm. but I can see Joe R. Lansdale taking this very creepy turn in, oh yeah, there's going to be giant manises and the plot is a rocket ship that's going to, you know, put all these giant bugs. I'm surprised this isn't one of your favorite ones because it's got giant.
Actually, I just wanted to mention, I actually really like this episode.
You like this episode? Well, yeah, yeah. And I can see it, right? Because it's got your whole thing with ants and them. And
it's like a weird, it reminds me of like, I guess like a weird ass Dick Sprang, like 1950s kind of.
Yeah.
Batman story.
But here's the problem.
I really like this one.
Yeah, okay. No, I get it because you got these giant monsters.
But I totally understand if people are just like, this episode sucks because it's like,
it really,
it's a weird ass episode.
But again, Steve Gerber, Joe R. Lansdale, Jack Kirby inspired design, a very buxom blonde woman, you know, running around, and they do a lot of shots where you see her butt walking from behind type stuff. Mm-hmm. You got Harvey Bullock in here doing his Harvey Bullock thing. He's not actually a complete loser like they portray him in early episodes of the show.
Yeah,
where he's actually a competent policeman.
I feel like he actually has a bit of an arc in the show.
He does. He really does. Same way with Rene Montoya also does mm-hmm. as well. But you would think everything about this would work, except the premise is Farmer Brown. Shows off his giant sheep at the agro conference.
Yeah.
And the sheep goes wild because of all the flash bulbs that are going off in the sheep's face. And so Bruce Wayne is there and takes the sheep down. Good thinking. I was actually running for the exit. And then the next thing we see is Farmer Brown and his daughter up before the court. And the court's like, how dare you use these growth hormones for your experiments? You must take these. And the guy isn't saying stop using these steroids on these animals. He's saying, you have to take these creatures out of the city. Okay. And Farmer Brown is like, but I've already spent millions of dollars. If you force me out, this is going to bankrupt me. And, you know, the judgment is passed. 1 year later, Farmer Brown is in this underground laboratory that's set up just like a farm. So it's got grow lights and everything on there. It's this huge underground expanse. He's got secret elevators that take him up. He's got a rocket ship that's going to, you know, shoot these giant bugs all over the city. He's continuing to do his experiments and grow these things. Where's he getting the money for this?
He took out a loan.
Probably. Dear sir, what are you going to use this for? I'm going to use it to terrorize the city.
y'all.
And then the capper is at the very end. And this is why I think this is so dumb. At the very end, Bullock is putting everybody in the police wagon and, you know, hitting it, and they drive off and we do this wide shot. And then we just pan across Gotham River or Gotham Bay or whatever it is in this world. And we see the island where Farmer Brown's headquarters are, and it's just this giant spooky barn.
Here.
A giant spooky barn on the island, and it's like, you can just see this from shore. It's not like it's hidden from anything. So shouldn't people have been wondering for the whole year that Farmer Brown disappeared?
What's going on over there?
Yeah. Why is suddenly there somebody erecting a giant, you know, Midwestern barn right in the middle of Gotham Harbor or Gotham River? This seems weird. Maybe we should check it out. Nah, we don't have to worry about anything with that.
That's a lot of bull.
That is a lot of bull. This does feature Tim Drake in it.
Yeah.
Which he came in fourth season, yeah. Right?
Second Robin.
Yeah. Second Robin.
Or third, if you think the adventures continues as canon.
I mean, you could. I don't have a problem with any of those, to be honest with you. So that's why I think that's my least favorite one.
Okay.
I did promise people are going to remember because I just remembered.
Listen, I really like that episode.
I know.
It's a divisive opinion. I remember when I first watched that episode, it was never on TV, but I always heard this is one of the worst episodes. And then I watched it. I was like, I kind of liked it.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't hit on so many levels, right?
No.
It's like, here's this like 10,000 ton bull running through the streets and it steps on the Batmobile and just dents it slightly. Or it runs at 100 miles an hour and smashes through a building. And now it's got its head stuck in the wall and Batgirl backs up a truck so that it can't back out. I don't think that's how it works.
That's a lot of bull.
That's a lot of bull. So going back to Tiger and Wolf and Moon, I want to go back to Tiger and Wolf and Moon. I was really paying attention to Colton the Cat because of the Catman reference there, because I was like, oh, is this where we start to see the seeds planted for Batman Beyond where everyone's splicing? Because, you know, splicing in Batman Beyond, everyone's like, I want snake features or, you know, the purple haired friend of Terry McGinnis. She gets the snake eyes put in or cat eyes. I forget which. But that whole splicing thing is kind of a big deal. And we've got at least three episodes that we've talked about.
Yeah. There was also Man Bat as well.
Yeah. Where there's gene splicing going on to maybe that's a continuation of that in the future. So I thought
it's definitely a continuation of the Man Bat thing.
Yeah. Definitely that.
But, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know either. So I'm sorry. I broke John's heart. He's now angry at me.
Well,
you've got some runner ups.
I have two honorable mentions.
Okay.
So I didn't know if you were going to count, the new Batman Adventures episodes.
Yeah.
So I just focused strictly on just,
Batman, the animated series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the two I have on here for honorable mentions from season four or new Batman Adventures or whatever you want to call it, or the Red Sky season. I don't know. I actually like the Red Sky.
Yeah.
But I have Love is a Croc, which is the killer croc baby doll.
Yeah, that one's a weird one. That's really weird.
Ugh.
Yeah, no, not a fan of that one. No, I agree with you.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And she's an adult, and he's just got a skin disease.
Yeah.
Just saying. I'll just put that out there. Ugh. But yes, it's also very creepy.
Yeah, it's just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Baby doll, the original baby doll, like the first episode. That's a really good episode.
I like that episode. Here's somebody that, you know, talking about child actors and the horror that befalls child actors. Yeah, great episode. Great episode.
And the other one, I don't know if you remember this one, if you know what this episode is on the top of your head, but this one is Animal Act. This is the one where the Mad Hatter controls the circus animals at Haley's Circus.
Oh, no, I guess this one I don't remember.
Yeah, it's not that great of an episode.
There's another episode that
another one that Bruce Timm does not like.
Yeah. There's another one, Mean Seasons. It's about this fashion model.
Yeah, the calendar girl.
Yeah. That one was a little weird because there's a lot of
it's making commentary, though.
Oh, no, it's making a lot of commentary about beauty and, you know, how long, you know, especially for women actors, how long are, you know, is their worth. That kind of thing. Once they hit a certain age or once they hit a certain body type or whatever, then they're no longer worthy, which I think is really weird. But, you know, going back and watching a lot of these, there's a lot of adult innuendo in so many of these episodes that I was just like, how did this get past the censors? And then I was like thinking, well, I was 21 when this series came out.
They're more lenient back in the 90s, I guess.
No. You would think it'd be harder. Network censors would be harder because they know kids are watching this and we have all these rules in place to protect kids from this, especially with the toy tie-in type stuff. But yeah, a lot of this stuff just either, you know, me being 21 at the time watching this stuff, a lot of it I didn't get at the time. And so maybe the network censors didn't realize what some of the innuendos were when it was going through. That's the only thing I can think.
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
I mean, I've read that they're,
John is barely 21.
Trouble. I'm 23.
What?
Well, they had a lot of trouble with the censors anyway.
Yeah.
Like the Robin's Reckoning episode, they were supposed to show Dick Grayson's parents fall right, down.
Falling, yeah.
But then they were like, no, you got to change that. Mm-hmm. And they had a more effective thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know how some stuff gets past censors.
Yeah, maybe they were just
especially like, in episodes of SpongeBob.
Oh, yeah. Maybe they're just thinking kids won't get this, but let's throw it in for the adults. And it's pretty tame for adults, but
yeah,
whatever. So, ladies and gentlemen, John and I have shared some of our least favorite Batman the Animated Series of the 109 episodes. Okay. Some of our least favorite episodes. What about you? What are some of your least favorite episodes?
Do you
of
like
Batman?
Critters?
Do you like Critters? Is it one of your favorites? Are you going to side with me or are you going to side with John on this one?
Are you a Tiger fan?
Oh, God, if you're a Tiger fan. So, listen, if you're a Tiger fan, I'm also interested in knowing if you are also a furry, if you're into that, because I cannot think of any other reason that exists except for people who are into furries.
Yeah.
So, use the Discord server. You can join for free. There's a link in the show notes. Jump into the Top 5 channel. Share with us your top 5 least favorite Batman the Animated Series episodes. And we will read them. John will read them. Everyone will read them. Why? Because everyone loves a list.
This podcast is copyright 2024 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.